Episode number 23 of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head over to firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards, definitely the best boil and bite mouthguard I've ever had. Head on over to sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 to save 10% on your order today.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
All right, it's June 29th. Episode number 23 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. We got another couple great interviews and a lot of news to go over, so let's get right into it. All right, Fight Night Picks podcast, episode number 23. Like I said, couple of great interviews. There's all sorts of Bellator news to go over. You know, you've got Bellator 201 as well coming at you tonight from the Pechanga Resort and Casino in California. Main card starts at 10 o'clock Atlantic tonight. We've also got Bellator's own Andy Nesbitt on to break down the new DAZN deal and set us up for this fall's action. I mean, we talked about, your welterweight Grand Prix. You still got the heavyweight Grand Prix going on as well, the Rory Gegard fight. And Rampage and Wanderlei Silva having their fourth fight at the Bellator events September 29th, which is also when DAZN, the streaming deal, starts. Also returning on the podcast, we've got Fansided and Fight Network columnist Ty O'Keefe on to break down the Bellator 201 card. And we're also going to talk about his recent article featured on Fansided called Bellator MMA Building Much Needed Momentum. And we talked about, you know, the recent rating slide. If you really look into the numbers, Ty kind of really pulled back the curtain on Bellator's ratings, as well, you know, what their angle might be to kind of break the slump that they're in right now. So before we get into the Bellator news, let's quickly recap this past week's fights. On Tuesday, you had Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, five more fights, five more finishes. Two contracts were handed out to T. Edwards. He had a 28-second knockout of Austin Tweedy, and I had said on Tuesday that was going to be a tough fight to call because Tweedy had a lot of submissions on his record. And, you know, the way that the Contender Series has worked is a lot of fast finishes and a lot of knockouts. And so that's why it was kind of tough for me to gauge what might happen in that fight. But T. Edwards was really, he threw a hard overhand right and Tweedy was done at that 28-second mark. So great win for him. And he earned a UFC contract as well, landing a contract on the fight card. As many as had predicted she would. Antonina Shevchenko with her second round TKO win. She won by knees in the clinch. I mean, Herb Dean kind of had to call a stop to the contest. Her opponent wasn't really defending all that well. And she had dominated in that fight. The first round totally went her way. So she'll join her sister Valentina in the UFC's flyweight division. And they become the first sister duo to compete in the UFC. So kind of neat to see there. Also a fight on that card that I thought was going to be pretty cut and dry between Josh Parisian and Greg Rebello was anything but. Parisian, man, did he ever push the pace in that. He threw a lot of different types of strikes and had a lot of different looks. There were some spinning back kicks, some kicks that landed to Rebello's abdomen area, leg kicks. I think he threw a spinning elbow, but what really ended the fight was a spinning back fist. He had Rebello with his back up against the cage, and it connected, and that was that. I mean, it was tough for me because Parisian had a recent loss to Tony Lopez, and so that kind of made me a little weary of picking him to win, but impressive, and I mean, who knows? With a few more finishes like that, we might be able to see him competing in the UFC. We've seen that happen. Somebody gets a win on the Contender Series, doesn't guarantee them a contract, but they're able to string together a few more wins, and there they are, right back in it. So another great event, another great Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series. That was week three, and really looking forward to week four coming up here soon. Also this past week, yesterday, there was Bama Fight Night London, and if you had a chance to watch it, the main event on the card was a lightweight, it was for the lightweight belt. But it was between lightweight champ 7-1-1 Rice McKee and their welterweight champ 9-1 Terry Brazier. And Brazier was actually able to get the win and take McKee's belt. So he's a true champ and won that fight by unanimous decision. Also on that card, you had my featured comeback, really, an up-and-comer, Chai Lewis Perry. He was taking on Lukasz Porobiec, and the fight ended in majority draw. And most of the people that I had seen covering the event had scored it for Porobiec, actually. And others had joked that maybe the judges were showing some mercy on Lewis Perry, because in his last fight this past spring, it was another comeback fight. He threw down some Travis Brown elbows. He had the guy in the clinch, had him down, and then started raining those elbows, and they didn't look 12-6 to me, but referee Leon Edwards, he determined that they truly were illegal and ended the fight in a no contest. So those were your two cards from this past week that we'd focused on Tuesday, and you've got all sorts of action today on Friday, and some other cards spread out this weekend. But like I said at the start of the show, we've got a lot of Bellator news, so let's just get right into the interview with Andy Nesbitt from Bellator. Big news this week, obviously, Bellator signing the deal with DAZN out of England. So yeah. What does that entail for you guys?
It's a really huge deal. It was great to see that get announced. It does a couple of things. It sets up, they're going to have seven events exclusive to DAZN, streaming partner with Bellator. And the first one, obviously, is that September 29th card, that gigantic card that I think is only going to get bigger. And it gives fans, all around the world an easier way to watch these fights live, especially live. And, it brings in a lot of money for Bellator, which they can now go use and try to lure in even more free agents. And then, for the Paramount, they'll do 15 events with Paramount, co-streaming with Paramount, where, fans don't have to worry about the dreaded tape delay.
Yeah, I mean, that should be great for fight fans. I've heard different things. There's been a lot of events in Europe, obviously, Bellator 200. You've also had cards in Hungary and whatnot. And I had referee Kevin McDonald on here recently, and I'm sure he's pretty excited about the news. Do you know if there's any chance of some Brazilian events coming up?
I'm not aware of those talks, but I know Scott Coker likes to take everything worldwide, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's some Brazilian events.
We're going to be able to see some more between the rounds?
Yeah, we'll be working on those. There was kind of a little lull there in the schedule for Bellator. So, once things pick back more up, we're going to do some more stuff and possibly some more stuff over the summer, visiting gyms, doing some stuff with fighters and bringing some fun stuff to the fans out there.
Awesome, man. And I mean, like you said, DAZN, the coverage, we've had it here in Canada for about a year. They've been covering or distributing the NFL here.
And, that's right.
They're new to the States, I guess, with the big Matchroom boxing deal. And
yeah, we don't have it yet. It's not available to us yet. So I don't know anything. I haven't been able to get my hands on it and check it out.
Yeah. I mean, one good thing, I just got email confirmation yesterday. The ESPN Plus deal with UFC is totally exclusive to the States. No deal whatsoever for Canada. So it's kind of up in the air there. But with DAZN and Bellator, it'll be great for us anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of fans upset with that ESPN Plus, and I don't know what their plans are with that. But in this day and age, everybody needs to have access to your product, and that's what Bellator has their sights set on. And just a really brilliant business move. And again, it brings in so much money where they can really make moves. As you've seen, they've been making a lot of moves in the past week. Scott Coker he's a really fun guy, and he wants to make big moves. And I think this opens him up to do more of that.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Lyoto Machida now going. Yep. He's got the 2-fight win streak. Apparently, he's going to compete at light heavyweight or middleweight. I heard there was talk, I don't know how true it is, but possibly a matchup with Fedor, but he's still got that heavyweight tournament going on, so we'll see what happens there anyway.
Yeah, I can't wait. We kind of forget about that heavyweight tournament because, summer, we're not probably going to see it until, early next fall, but I still can't wait for those fights.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, deal starts, what, September 29th? Bellator's hometown of San Jose at the SAP Center. And we had talked about it the last time you were on, but the speculation's over. You get the champ-champ matchup coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to Scott Coker the other day talking about it, and he was kind of saying, like, I was kind of poo-pooing the idea. I wanted them to defend their belts first, but he's like, in my mind, this was the fight I really wanted to make. So he was kind of smoke and mirrors on that for a little bit, but that's the fight he wanted to make. It's the fight fans want to see, and it's going to be a great fight. And it's smart for them to put that on their first DAZN card because, you know, you got to get people buying into this program, and it's going to be a great fight card September 29th in San Jose.
You pumped up for the co-main?
Yeah, very pumped up. I think it's good. It's going to be great.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
Yeah, I mean, fourth fight between the two guys, Silva and Jackson. Silva's got the matchup right now, 2-1. But yeah, I think it's going to be a little different where they're both going to be competing at heavyweight, but it should be a good matchup nonetheless.
Yeah. It's crazy. Their first fight dates back to 2003. Where were you in 2003? It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's good to see these guys still out there. They're doing their thing. And I think it's going to be a really fun fight for the fans.
And then, yeah, heavyweight Grand Prix, you've still got finishing up this year. You've still got, semis and then the finals. But welterweight Grand Prix coming up. I mean, that's...
Yeah, his fighters are going to be involved in that. And Scott Coker kind of teased that after, Bellator 200. He teased that he was looking at a couple other weight classes for Grand Prix because of the success the heavyweight Grand Prix has had, the excitement that that's created. And the welterweight was obviously one of the ones that everyone was kind of looking at because there's so much talent at welterweight. I mean, in both UFC and Bellator, and this one just only makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. They've thrown around some names. I've seen Douglas Lima, MVP, Andre Koroshkov, Paul Daly, and then I would assume, you know, you'd have Neiman Gracie and others in that. So, big stuff coming out from Bellator.
Yeah, you got a bunch of big names there, and, you know, they're going to throw eight of them together, and I think it's going to be something fight fans are going to want to watch.
Exactly. And then, like you said, you're going to be in at the event there tomorrow. Main event, you got a championship, your women's flyweight. Aliyah Malay McFarland making her first defense against Alejandra Lara. Lara, a lot of wins by finish, and her only loss is to the LFA flyweight champ Sabina Mazow. So that should be a great matchup there.
Should be a great matchup. And what I like about McFarland, I was doing some research on her, and her story is incredible. You see these fighters, and you get to learn more about them. And she was like 30 or 40 pounds overweight. She was working at a restaurant as a waitress, and she walked by this gym and was like, I should go in there and train and try to lose some of this weight. And that's why she originally got involved in fighting. And that's the gym that she still calls home. And now she's a champion and she's defending her belt, you know, 60 miles outside of her hometown of San Diego. It should be an exciting atmosphere tomorrow night.
Yeah, 7-0 as a pro. I mean, 12-0 total with her amateur record. I'm sure that one counts the soccer mom win that they had on the Bellator promo. Yeah. But good matchup there. Co-main, 22-9, Syed Awad taking on Ryan Couture. That's another big-time kind of matchup there. And it should be interesting. I mean, they're fighting at 160. Couture went up to 170 in his last fight, but coming back down a little bit. And we mentioned it in our last conversation. I really do like what Bellator does, allowing these catchweight bouts, letting guys go up and down and try and figure out what weight they should be competing at.
It's a really smart way to run their business, especially in this day and age where, you know, you're seeing in the UFC so many issues with weight cutting. To be open and to allow these kind of fights to happen is really great for the fans and for the fighters and for everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, on your prelims, you've got Ed Ruth fighting. Made his debut at 185. And now he's coming down finally to 170, the weight that he wants to be at. Taking on kind of a tough customer, 16-2, Andy Murad. So that should be interesting. I find there's a lot of good matchups on the prelims as well that kind of might fly under the radar. Jordan Young as well on there. And you've got one half of the Fortune Brothers with Tyrell fighting. So good prelim card there. And then as well on your main card, you've got Valerie Letourneau in her second fight with the promotion. Taking on Christina Williams. And a lot of people were surprised by Christina Williams in her last fight with Heather Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, from top to bottom on a Friday night, you know, watch the prelims on the app and then settle down and watch the main card. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. So what's your plans with Bellator this summer?
Well, we go tomorrow and we do some stuff tomorrow at the fights. And then over the summer, we'll be working on some stuff, getting ready for the big September cards and getting ready for announcements that will be made for the heavyweight Grand Prix. And you know, hopefully getting down and doing some fun stuff with fighters as they come through LA and going to their gyms and bringing you kind of into their day-to-day lives. And just, you know, it feels like right now Bellator is making this big move and it's exciting to be a part of it.
Awesome, Andy. Well, thanks so much for coming back on. I really appreciate it going over all the news. Where can people find you online?
Twitter, A. Nesbitt, A-N-E-Z-B-I-T-T. Instagram, Andy Nesbitt, classmates.com, all that good stuff.
Awesome, Andy. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you soon.
Great having Andy coming back on again to go over all the Bellator news. There's a lot of stuff to cover, and you get a firsthand account from a guy that's hands-on with Bellator over there. Like you said, you can find him on social media as well. He hosts Between the Rounds with Bellator, you know, gets into camps, gets talking to some of the fighters, and it's pretty neat to get that angle from Bellator. So, all right, so at this point in time, I'd like to thank our sponsors. We're brought to you today by First Row Collectibles. Head on over to their website at firstrow.ca. They've got hockey cards, basketball cards, autographed pictures, you name it, they've got it as far as memorabilia is concerned, sports memorabilia. So I was over there today, saw some Wendell Clark autographed hockey cards, some Bret the Hitman Hart wrestling cards, Ron Simmons autographs, former UFC fighter Roland Delorme autographed pictures. I mean, like I said, the list goes on. There's sports collectibles for any sports fan you can think of. So head on over to their website. For our listeners only, enter the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping. And to our American listeners, remember that all the prices on the site are in Canadian dollars. So to you Americans out there, you're going to be saving roughly 25% by ordering from First Row. We're also brought to you today by Sisu. And if you've never used the Sisu mouth guard, it's the thinnest boil and bite mouth guard I think I've ever seen out there. And I've had one for a number of years. And of course, the one game that I didn't wear my mouth guard, I lost my front tooth, and it was a pain, let me tell you. So now they're a proud partner of Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is a national childhood cancer research foundation. And so they're raising funds to research new cancer treatments and cures for children battling cancer. So from June of this year to June of next year, 10% of every sale of yellow mouth guard purchased from their site, it's got to be the Arrow or Junior styles, will result in a donation to, like I said, Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. And I'm sure everyone's been touched by some way by cancer. It's a topic that's near and dear to my heart. So if you head on over to their website, SISU Guard, you can still use the promo code FNP10. You'll save 10% on your order, but you'll also be donating 10% to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. And those funds, like I said, are going to go into research of new treatments and cures for childhood cancers. SISUGuard.com, promo code FNP10, and make sure you go out and buy a yellow mouth guard from Sisu. Okay, so we were able to cover the Bellator angle from somebody who's involved directly with, you know, the inner workings of the company. And now I'm going to switch it over to the interview that I had yesterday with Ty O'Keefe from Fansided and Fight Network. He had a recent article that just came out, kind of pulling the curtain back on Bellator and the recent ratings. And we had a really intelligent conversation as to where Bellator is today, where they could go tomorrow. And at the same time, we also broke down the Bellator 201 card coming at you live tonight. So here's my conversation with Ty. Thanks for coming on again. We've got a lot of Bellator news to cover. So we'll get right into your article featured on Fansided Sports Illustrated. I mean, Bellator, they made a lot of news this past week. Big signings, you know, the new DAZN deal that they have for streaming rights. And you were kind of able to pull back the curtains a bit and get all of the facts surrounding Bellator's future growth prospects and some of the recent TV ratings. So they've got a card this Friday from Pechanga Resort and Casino in Temecula, California. It's their first card in a month, and their last card was stacked. And I know in conversations with you before, we've talked about how Bellator stacked some cards, and it's really been to their own demise, ratings-wise. So, I mean, unless you're a fan of Lip Sync Battle, Bar Rescue, or maybe Ink Master on Paramount Network, and you've seen the ads hundreds of times for this event, it's totally been overshadowed by all the news from this past week that Bellator has had out there. So just want to get your thoughts on the 201 card, first of all.
First of all, thanks for having me back. It's my pleasure. Sure. And yeah, I think it's good news for Bellator that all of these, you know, things that's happened this week has overshadowed this kind of underwhelming card.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, your main event, it's at least for a title. You've got a definite star in the making in Alima Leigh McFarland, 7-0, 12-0 as a pro and amateur, which would include her soccer mom win knockout. And she's taken on a gal in Alejandra Lara, who's 7-1. She's got four finishes, and her only loss is to LFA champ Sabina Mazel, which, I mean, she's kind of come out as a star, and I'm sure the UFC or Bellator will end up signing her. But other than that, I mean, it's not an overwhelming card. In my mind, we'll go through it, but the prelims are actually pretty good and nobody's talking about them at all. So, yeah, Bellator in a tough spot with this 201 card, I think.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I noticed it's a heavy prelim card. I think there's altogether 14 fights, or maybe just the prelims, or even, you know, 10 or 11 fights. But, despite the fact that it's a title fight that's headlining this card, you know, people just aren't familiar with these two women, as talented as they both are. Both of them have won their last two. They finished their last two opponents. I think they submitted both of their last two opponents. And you know, they definitely proved themselves capable. And McFarlane, this will be her first title defense, or her first attempt to defend that belt she just won. And for people who are knowledgeable and people who, you know, are in the circle and don't ever miss cards, this will be one of those nights where, you know, the prelims are going to have a few diamonds in the rough, and the hardcore fans will find them. But besides that, in terms of trying to attract new casual fans, new mainstream fans, I really think this is a perfect example of how Bellator has been missing the mark for the last couple of years. As you said, this is the first card in a month, and it is, you know, again, knowledgeable fight fans will watch it just because it's MMA. But to lure new people, and you got to have bigger names, which they've tried to do by acquiring, you know, some of these older aging heavyweights, the big acquisition this week with Machida, things like that. But no, it's struggling. And the co-main event, you know, isn't huge. You know, there's some decent fights in the card. With, you know, Ryan Couture is going to be on there, and Letourneau's going to fight a very inexperienced opponent. So, but yeah, it's not going to be one that they're going to be bringing a lot of new fans in, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Syed Awad's one of my favorite Bellator fighters to watch. The guy's got 9 knockouts or TKO, 7 submissions, 5 decision wins, and then 1 win by disqualification for a 22-9 record. I mean, a fun guy, whether he's competing at lightweight or welterweight. You've got Couture coming back down from his first foray into welterweight, and these guys are meeting kind of in the middle at 160. And Couture, whether or not fight fans know exactly who he is, I mean, son of Randy Couture. So I, in my mind, kind of moving away from picks here, but I think it's a Wad's fight to lose there. Like you mentioned, Valerie Letourneau, I mean, she's taking on 2-0 Christina Williams. Williams, obviously a kickboxer background, and she had the major win over Heather Hardy, which I'm sure opened a lot of people's eyes. But at the same time, Valerie Letourneau's fought Yo Jacek, Sarah Kaufman, Alexis Davis, and she beat Kate Jackson in her debut with Bellator, which really surprised me, because if you look down through Kate Jackson's record, obviously younger, but at the same time fought top talent, whether it was on The Ultimate Fighter or elsewhere. So, I it should be a good fight for Letourneau. I mean, she's 35 now, but you never know what's next for her in Bellator.
Well, I mean, she's definitely very experienced. You know, she ended her UFC career on 3 straight losses.
Yeah.
And she's going to be coming into this fight after winning her debut. But that debut win was key just to get the momentum, you know, headed in the right direction for her. It's always good to see, you know, a Canadian who's stepping up and having an opportunity on a main card. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I do think it's her fight to lose. You know, and going into something like this, if she's going to, you know, actually challenge for the title and kind of make her way up this division, these are fights she has to win, and she has to win them decisively.
Yeah, for sure. Your fight before that, you get 18-1 Juan Archuleta. He's taking on 19-8 Robbie Peralta. He was in the UFC at one point, lost 4 in a row, and then won his last fight by unanimous decision on the California regional circuit. And if you look at Archuleta, he's fought some good talent. In his last fight, you have to heavily discount it, because he fought William Joplin, one of the toughest guys I think I've ever seen. He took a beating, and his record's now 15-15. That's kind of it's on paper, you know, both guys have good records, but it's kind of a tough one, to try and sell if you don't know those two guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're looking for a reason to watch this fight, it's good to know that, Archuleta dominated King of the Cage. I mean, he was pretty much unstoppable during his reign with that promotion. this is only, I think, his second fight with Bellator. And so we haven't really seen what he can do on the bigger stage, which is, you know, being Bellator or the UFC, hopefully one day for him. Obviously, that's what he aspires to. But if you're looking for a reason to watch it, I think, you know, he has the ability to not just work guys, you know, grind guys out and enter decisions, but he's got some TKOs and he's shown some power in the past. And I kind of, I don't know, I like Archuleta to win this fight for some reason. I just have a feeling, you know, I think Peralta is kind of, I don't know, he hasn't impressed me very much for the fights I have seen of him lately. And despite the fact that Peralta's been around the block, I mean, he's fought for a lot of promotions. This is his, this kind of strange, this is his Bellator debut. I mean, he was with Strikeforce, he was with World Series of Fighting, and so it's kind of surprising that now he's just coming to Bellator. But no, I like Archuleta in this fight for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you too. Like we mentioned, some of the prelim fights of note, you've got Ed Ruth fighting 5-0 as a pro so far, and he's only fought with Bellator since 2016, making his welterweight debut, and he talked, you know, working his way down from middleweight. In his last fight, it was a catchweight. I think it was either 175 or 180. And in my conversation with Andy Nesbitt, I'm glad that Bellator allows guys to do this. We've got that 160 fight on the main card between Awad and Couture. It's nice to see that if somebody wants to gradually change weight classes, they'll let them do that, kind of on their own terms. But Ruth taking on 16-2 Andy Murad, and that's kind of a tough fight. I mean, Ruth won his last fight against Ion Pascu, who trains at SBG, and he's now a Bama star. He beat Alex Lahore in his debut there, but it's a tough fight for Ed Ruth.
As you were saying, I mean, regarding your comments about it being good to let these catchweight fight happens, that seems to be one of the primary complaints of fighters within Bellator, because they feel like it diminishes from the whole divisional structure, and if we're not going to enforce guys making weight, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, and so while it is good for fans because it makes fights happen that otherwise would not happen over, you know, a few pounds, which is nothing to a regular person, you don't see that as a big deal, you know. But so that's always good for that. But in order for Bellator to build more, you know, respect and integrity within the MMA community in terms of being respected for, with, you know, upholding their divisions and saying, you know, making their championship belt worth something, you know, these kind of fights are going to have to, you know, go away.
Yeah.
You know, these catchweight fights. It's as simple as that. I mean, Bellator is never going to be the UFC, and they're never going to compete directly in a lot of ways, but this is one thing they have to do. This is, you know, something in the foundation of the promotion that has to be done now in order to move forward, no matter what they're doing in the future.
I agree with you. You know, Ed Ruth, where he's a big prospect, and they want to slowly kind of thrust him into the spotlight. At some point, he's going to have to compete at welterweight. Obviously, this is his debut there. Yep. And then we'll see slowly what he'll be able to do come September 29th, once that welterweight Grand Prix touches off. But just to continue, a couple more prelims, and then we'll get right into all the big Bellator news from this past week. We got 8-0 Jordan Young taking on 3-1 Jamal Pogues. Young, he's a talent for sure. Great guy to have at light heavyweight
absolutely.
And
I've been impressed with him a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And then you've got one half of the Fortune brothers. You've got Tyrell taking on Giovanni Saran, and both guys made weight. And then there was another fight on the prelims. It's supposed to be a female flyweight bout, and one of the competitors missed weight by about 9 pounds. So that fight's off.
Yeah, and it should be. If someone's going to miss weight by 9 pounds, I mean, this is at this level especially, then there's got to be consequences for sure. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching Tyrell Fortune fight. And I think, you know, he's got more potential than he's shown if he can, you know, put some things together. And I think he's an all right athlete as well. And I think it could be one of the fights on the prelim card that does turn out to be better than most people are expecting. See, the problem is the fights that turn out to be great on the prelim card that we're not expecting aren't going to benefit the casual fight fan, because they're not going to know until afterwards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not going to help Bellator's ratings. You know, it's not like people are going to run outside and say, hey, you got to come in and watch this fight, you know, because it's so great. I mean, it's just not going to happen. But no, it's definitely one of the fights I'm looking for on the prelim cards for sure.
And to kind of compare and contrast a little bit with these Bellator prelims, I find when I watch them on the app online, they always end up impressing. It's always fun to watch them for sure. But yeah, if you're a casual fan and you're tuning in to Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, where you've got the best of the best from all of the regional leagues, people that have competed in Bellator and other organizations coming together, and once they see Dana White, they go balls to the wall as hard as they can, and you've got a lot of finishes so far. And then you've got Bellator prelims, where some fighters might be of the mindset, well, I made it now, I'm in Bellator, so I'm not gonna ride it out as hard. And you see high ratings with Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, whereas going back to your article, ratings have kind of trended down while Scott Coker has been at the reins. And I mean, he's a smart guy for sure. We've seen some good matchmaking so far, some good signings, especially this week where they just signed Lyoto Machida, who's on a 2-fight win streak and a recognizable name, former champ in the UFC. But it's kind of difficult to tell what's going to happen. I'd like to get your thoughts. What's going to happen with Bellator from today or tomorrow when we have Bellator 200? Then you've got 202 and 203. You ride out August and September. What are we going to see in the next few months before this new DAZN deal kicks in?
See, that's kind of going to be the bridge, right? Because they're talking about not putting the welterweight tournament together until the fall, I think it was, I heard. So you're right. That's a very good point. This is between now and when those things start to happen with that, you know, we're going to see the same thing that we've already seen from Bellator, and that the same thing that unfortunately has been leading to, you know, these poor ratings. You know, Coker, his first year in office, there was he did experience a rating spike over what Bjorn Rebney had done, you know, under his reign with ratings on Spike TV. Coker's first year, there was a jump, but there's been a steady, you know, decline ever since about 2016, and it's because of things like this, and unfortunately because these events have to be scheduled so far in advance, you know what I mean, to set up for the logistics and everything to get everything going. We're not going to see any big changes unless they insert some of these bigger names into some of the cards that are already existing. You know, if they were to possibly put Machida into one of these cards between now and when that deal starts, or now between now and September, October, or if they were to, you know, everybody's looking forward to the Musasi McDonald super fight, and it's made it look like this summer's just kind of going to be a waste.
Yeah.
You know, for Bellator, it's like and it reminds me of last summer with Bellator NYC, because after Bellator NYC, there was nothing. There was nothing to keep casual fans who came to Bellator to watch Bellator NYC from that product and then keep them intrigued as turn them into regular fans. There was nothing to keep them there. And so, I mean, unfortunately, I think we're just going to keep seeing exactly what we've been seeing from them until there are significant changes. Now, one of the great things would be some of these heavyweight bouts in the heavyweight tournament. Some of those turn out better than, you know, than they've been thus far. On paper, I mean, they look fantastic, you know, some of them. But I always get kind of weary when I see things like Mir versus, you know, Fedor, when we know how long they've been fighting, how little they've been fighting. It may sound great on paper, but, you know, and this third or fourth fight between Rampage and Vanderlei.
Yeah.
I don't know any MMA fan who's really going to be excited about that fight. You know, and Bellator is very happy about it, and I get it. Rampage is a great fighter to watch. You know, he's always fun to have in pre-fight media events. I mean, the guy's great. But in terms of those two and that rivalry, they might as well just go fight in a bar or in the backyard somewhere, because it's just not something that people are going to be interested in, and unless you know MMA especially. And the MMA fans who do know MMA are sick of it. So
one of the big issues I think we're going to find this summer, and I think you touched on it at one point, but you've got Michael Chandler, who's pretty much at the end of his Bellator rope. You've got both Pitbull brothers calling out Michael Chandler for performance-enhancing drug use. You've got both.
And that's a heavy accusation.
Exactly. You've got both Pitbull brothers calling out Weichel for performance enhancer or testosterone use. Those are, you know, the brothers and Chandler, two of your biggest homegrown stars who are, you know, kind of stirring the pot, and you're not really sure what's going to happen. So if you're going to rely on outside talent, it's pretty difficult. I mean, there's going to be an influx of money. we might as well break down the streaming deal. So they're going to have 7 stack cards per year under DAZN.
First of all, let's just get out of the way. That's a joke. I'm just saying that's a complete joke.
It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to stack 7 cards per year. And then there's going to be 15 cards extra that are going to be put on by DAZN and the Paramount Network. So you're going to have 22 total events. In Canada, it shouldn't be a big issue for us up here where we already have DAZN that covers the NFL. In the States, they're still working out the kinks. So they're going to have Bellator on there and they're going to have Matchroom Boxing as well. They signed a large deal about a month ago. So it should be all right there. And as well in Canada, the way it's kind of shaken out, I heard on the TSN MMA show with Aaron Bronstadter here recently on Tuesday that ESPN Plus, and even in the dealings I've had with ESPN, emailing back and forth, the ESPN Plus deal is exclusive to the United States. So in Canada...
Yep. I don't understand that.
No, in Canada, it's looking like all the events are going to be televised, and I have a bad feeling that we're going to miss out on some events. I feel like some of those Fight Pass events, the exclusive ones, there's a chance that we won't be able to watch them. So it's starting to get more and more expensive to be an MMA fan right now. You're going to have to get that DAZN streaming package, whether you're in the States or in Canada. You're going to have to get ESPN Plus. I from what I understand, if you're in the States and you're an ESPN Plus subscriber, you get Fight Pass. So they're kind of doing away with that.
Yeah,
but it's all kind of up in the air as far as Canadian viewers are concerned.
For Canadians and stuff, and for people outside of the U.S., you're right. Getting ESPN Plus or even if you've used ESPN's website, it's even hard to become an ESPN insider. All these things seem limited to the States. But that's the big thing that seems to be missed in this whole DAZN deal is that throughout its history, Bellator has made its bread on being the MMA's top free offering, its top television product that we get for free. The big draw with Bellator is because people can just turn on the TV, whether it's Spike Network or CMT or the Paramount Network or whatever they change it to next year. It's always a free offering. Yet this deal now is kind of taking some of this away. And it's saying once again, okay, instead of continuing to be the free quality product that we've been, which for TV is a quality product, I think so, in terms of the level of MMA Bellator does put on, no one's really said anything about the fact that to get this DAZN deal and to get access to this, people are going to have to start now paying on a regular basis for Bellator's product. And that's really the first time that that's happened, unless you paid for the app that Bellator has had in the past or something like that. But this is kind of almost like a new model. And I just want to say quickly too, this idea that Bellator is going to, I have the press release myself, and this idea that they're going to quote unquote 7 stacked cards per year to fulfill this DAZN deal, it is so unbelievably laughable just simply due to their history. They have trouble stacking 3 cards a year right now as it is. Maybe 4. Okay. Let's be honest. We don't need stat cards to keep drawing everybody in all the time. That's great. I get it. You know what I mean? But, and if Bellator is going to thrive, it's going to have a solid base of MMA purists, tuning in all the time, living, breathing Bellator MMA. And there are people like that out there because it is a quality product and MMA is, an extremely passionate sport. So people do that. But to just set these standards so high when they've never come close, and we know the roster doesn't contain the amount of fighters you need and the amount of well-known fighters you need to actually do this. You know what I mean? The fighters would love it because one of the biggest complaints with Bellator fighters is a lighter schedule. These guys want more fights. You know what I mean? So heck, on paper, these guys must read that and think, oh my God, that's great. Now, if they're offering 7 stat cards to fulfill this DAZN deal, oh, sure, I'll be getting 3-4 main events a year, which you'd think that would make sense. But we all know that's not going to happen because it hasn't happened in the past, and there's nothing to indicate that this is going to materialize the way it's being promoted right now.
Yeah, you've got this welterweight Grand Prix. It's going to start September 29th. They're going to kick off the Grand Prix, like you had mentioned, Vanderlei Silva Rampage, and also the main event, Rory McDonald, Gegard Mousasi.
And why stack it that much? Why stack all the card like that?
It's a good start. I feel like, yeah, I think that's what they're going for. But the welterweight Grand Prix. So there's four names that they've officially said, and then I saw a video that was kind of a mashup of different faces from the welterweight division. But the four that are definitely going to be on it, you've got Douglas Lima, Michael Venom Page, and Paul Daly, and also Andrei Koroshkov. And to your point,
and
fighters that don't get a chance to fight often, Andrei Koroshkov is one of those names.
Yep.
The guy could be a star in any organization,
but
you don't get to see him. So you've got Koroshkov upset, another guy like we've mentioned before, and I know I've harped on other podcasts, Vadim Nemkov, another guy that I wish we could see more of, future light heavyweight champ, I think.
Yep.
And then you've also got other fighters, like I had Gerald Harris on the podcast, and he complained that, in my mind, he's a bigger name fighter. Four slam knockout wins, fought in the UFC, went 3-1, a big signing for Bellator, fighting Rafael Lovato Jr. on short notice. And he was under the impression that he was going to be fighting at middleweight. And now they've got him on the undercard of a fight in his home state, fighting at welterweight against a kid who's 19-0. So there's a lot of fighters that are currently with Bellator that are quite upset with the promotion. I'm sure we're going to have possibly 22 cards a year from Bellator, that there's going to be some excitement. Hopefully fighters will be able to be booked for more fight cards. But it's all going to be kind of iffy how it shakes out. And as well, the 202 and the 203 cards. 202 is in Oklahoma, 203 is in Rome. And you've got two of your bigger stars, brothers, that want to fight on the card.
Yep.
And they've only announced one of them being on the card. So it's kind of tough. And that card definitely isn't full yet either. So it'll be interesting to see what Bellator does this summer heading into the fall and how they're going to stack all those cards.
Oh, yeah. And just, to your point, like to be able to fulfill this deal, they would have to acquire so much more talent, to fulfill this DAZN deal. But moving forward, if they don't start, growing their own homegrown stars, developing their own homegrown stars, things like that, this is just going to keep going around and around and around, and we're just going to keep being here and saying the same thing year after year about this promotion, and hopefully it doesn't, dissipate or, go away. But it's disappointing to see. And you're right, Gerald Harris does deserve the opportunity that he wants at this point. He has made a name for himself, both not only in the cage, but kind of in social media as well.
Yeah.
He's kind of resonated and he's become bigger than his record. He's become bigger than his personality in the cage and he deserves it. And you wonder if the reason they haven't announced the three brothers, if they haven't announced the other fight, if it's because of there's problems with some of these things. Recently, one of them had been speaking to Bloody Elbow about having to cover costs for trainers and having to, above and beyond what they already get covered for, which Bellator does cover, a certain amount of trainers and a per diem and a certain amount of hotel rooms, stuff like that. But these guys are having to pay, it's a messed up situation right now. And you have a guy like Rory McDonald calling the front office scattered. He said Bellator's front office is scattered. I mean, that's a hit, definitely. So.
Yeah, I mean, welterweight Grand Prix in September. You've also got kind of the continuation of the heavyweight Grand Prix with Mitrione and Bader, Fedor and Chael. Kind of the sense that I've gotten from it is that they're going to announce the fights that are going to take place in the fall. I don't think any of those fights are going to take place this summer. I think they should.
And Rory McDonald has said, I believe, he is going to fight in that tournament as well. So there'll be five guys that we know are going to fight, not just four, because Rory McDonald is saying he's going to fight, I think.
And in my mind, I think the way this is going to go is you've got everybody loves a Grand Prix style tournament in MMA. I mean, most people think back to the Pride days and glory days of MMA.
What night?
Yeah, exactly. When soccer kicks and everything under the sun was legal. And now you've got these Grand Prix, but they're also competing against PFL, who has this playoff style MMA approach. And I haven't seen the ratings yet, and I don't know if you have, but to my knowledge, they've been doing well. I mean, their fights have been going well. People have been tuning in, and they're pretty good cards. Top to bottom, they're almost more exciting than some of these Bellator cards. So,
it's a very interesting model, to basically make it like a years ago there was I'm not sure what it was, I think Chris Horodecki was involved, maybe Boz Root, and there were actually teams, and I remember there was like this is 6-7 years ago, I remember, and it was teams of four or five, all different weight classes, would compete all against their, you know, counterpart, and, you know, that would be it. Now, this isn't obviously teams, but they're making, like, each fighter is his or her own team, and then there's standings and things like that, and it's a different model, and I don't know if they found success because that model appeals to North American sports fans, because we're so familiar with it from watching baseball, basketball, football, hockey, whatever. But I've been surprised, honestly, by not only the quality of the product, I've been pleasantly surprised, but the amount of publicity and the amount of people who have seemed very satisfied with what they've seen from them thus far. Now, they're lacking, you know, any real big names, but they seem to be moving almost, you know, if this keeps going another year or two, you could say that, you know, they're headed towards Bellator territory.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's realistic, and that can't make Scott Coker very happy. You know, I mean, he's got to be worrying about that. Also, I'm not sure what I know. As the World Series of Fighting, they had some fights on NBC, and that was massive. You know what I mean? That's like a mainline right into mainstream sports fans. But I'm not sure if they're doing that again as PFL or what they're doing in terms of their TV exposure in the States and Canada. But they definitely got off to a good start.
So in the States, I know it's either the first six or seven, depending on the event of the fights, are on their Facebook page. Most of the feedback I've gotten, and my own feedback, is that they should put it on YouTube. I know ACB and a few different organizations will put it on YouTube and Facebook, and I've had issues streaming from my phone on Facebook to my Chromecast. I've had a lot of issues trying to get that set up. Never had an issue with YouTube ever. So it'd be nice if they were also on YouTube, but I'm sure they have some sort of deal set up with Facebook to drive traffic. And then the rest of the fights on their cards are on NBCSN in the States, and in Canada I've had a pretty hard time trying to find the main card on television.
You like to see the Fight Network, maybe pick things like that up a little bit more for Canadian. And, you know, it's always bothered me because if you're a Canadian sports fan, you've known that TSN is basically ESPN of Canada now. It's, if you've seen ESPN in the States ever, they're, you know, their format's the same. They have even their, you know, the colors they use on the shows are the same. The names of the shows, it's like a diet version of a good American ESPN. The problem is we don't have nearly what ESPN customers get in America. We don't have nearly things like that. And if we could get to that level of getting what kind of coverage Americans get, putting things like PFL on, you know, TSN in Canada would make sense. You know, that would be the type of programming that would help us get more access. We got, what, five TSN channels?
Fine,
and
yep.
they're always showing the same two things or the same one thing, and a lot of times it's curling and lumberjacks, and hey, that's great for curlers and lumberjack competitions and all that stuff. This is archaic. You know, we deserve better than this. I hope somebody out there hears this, because we deserve better than this. We only get, what, 3-4 of the ESPN talk shows every night, but yeah, PFL would be a great start. Put PFL on TSN or on the Fight Network. You know, one of the two, please. Because it deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the next few years, if this season of the PFL goes well, and I mentioned it in a few of the other episodes before, they're on track, from what I've read, to lose $10 to $15 million this year and then make it up in consequent years. But you're going to be handing out a $10 million payout guaranteed on the last night of the tournament to all six champions. Issue with that, and as far as, you know, your article is concerned and a lot of fans are concerned, when you're trying to draw ratings on December 31st, it's a tough sell. You get a lot of people out and about that aren't going to pay attention to sports. College football tried it and failed miserably in the States.
College football is massive. And Canadian football, any Canadian sports fans who aren't familiar with the size of it, this is NASCAR size. I mean, college football in America is massive. And if that failed, nothing will succeed on New Year's Eve. Nothing. Huge problem.
Yeah,
it's a huge problem. The scheduling. I don't understand why places like Bellator, they schedule fights on the same day that UFC has fights, and why the PFL or Bellator or anybody would put fights on these, you know, holidays or significant days like that. It just makes zero sense to me. I don't know where the thinking is when you go head to head with the UFC, how you're going to bring in money on ratings, and you know, I don't know why they do this, but it'd be interesting to see if maybe Bellator at PFL can move to maybe like Sunday afternoons, or, you know, maybe midweek. You know, we could have a midweek fight, like a Tuesday or Wednesday fight.
Tuesday night contender series.
I'm not just saying Dana White contender series fight. I'm talking the full card. You know, why not? No one's ever really tried that before. Why not have a Wednesday night card? It's wide open. You know what? We're not going to miss. This is us. We can watch it on reruns, I guess. So, you know, whatever. It would be so great to do that. And I think in order to get more ratings, Bellator is going to have to maybe explore things like that. You know, they've got the platform, Paramount Network. It's not like you can't, you know, cancel 80% of the commercials that we see every hour on that. It's so annoying to watch those commercials. They interfere with the quality of the product. But yeah, they have the platform. They should definitely look into expanding that way. It'd be interesting to see.
One last little bit of Bellator news. I saw today on Twitter that they paid 50 Cent $1 million to use a catchphrase, get the strap. So I'm sure we're going to get to hear get the strap fairly often.
I am so nauseated by this news. You know, I mean, hey, I got no problem with 50 Cent. You know, do what you do. And anybody who survives getting shot 9 times can do whatever he wants. You know, that's just, he really did survive getting shot 9 times. So, you know, I mean, that's no small feat. Now, he can't throw a baseball from the pitcher's mound. And I think he did that on purpose still. I don't think he actually, I don't know. But anyways, but to know that this get the strap is such a significant saying that they want to go purchase this for $1 million is such a depressing statement of the world we're living in right now in MMA. You know, MMA is amazing. I love it. But I'm telling you, some things like this, they mirror the trends of, you know, pop culture and stuff. And, you know, look at our world right now. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised. But really, $1 million, forget the strap. You know, all of us should start writing 3 or 4 words down about, you know, stupid phrases and just copywriting them or whatever. Because if get the strap is worth $1 million, what is next? I mean, really, where do we go from here? And really, why get the strap? Why wouldn't it be win the strap or win the belt? It doesn't even make, it's not even direct enough. It doesn't really make sense. It doesn't, people outside of the culture have no idea what they're talking about. It's biggest waste of $1 million in a very long time.
Good promo, way to go, maybe. 50 Cent.
Way to pad your bank account.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I had for you. Our article's featured on Fanside. Were there any other points you wanted to hit?
I just, you know, I really appreciate you letting me come on. And I think for MMA fans, Bellator is going to be going through a critical part of its history in the next year or two. And what they do and what they decide to do with some of these things they're doing now, the tournaments, you know, the welterweight tournament is going to showcase their deepest division. That is the welterweight, Bellator's welterweight division is so talented. There are so many good fighters in there, and that's a product that hopefully will give them the ratings they need. But over the next 2 years, we're going to know if Bellator is going to sink or swim, or if they're going to have to move it to pay-per-views or whatever. And it's going to be something that all MMA fans are going to have to keep an eye on. But no, I appreciate you letting me come on and shamelessly promote myself and my article. It is always a pleasure, and I always appreciate speaking with the talented Mr. Craig Allen. So thank you very much.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for coming on again. All right, so we've covered a lot of Bellator news. Let's just bring it full circle. We've got a couple other cards going on tonight. You've got LFA 44, Franco versus Aguilera, coming at you live from Phoenix, Arizona. That's set to 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. You know, Matthew Franco, he's fought, you know, some better talent at 170. He's been around the block from what I can tell. You know, he's fought in LFA for quite a while, fought in King of the Cage, World Series of Fighting. Got some losses, you know. Last loss was to Curtis Millender, and that was last year. And he has a fight from this year where he won by knockout, or TKO rather, in the second round of that fight. You know, fighting Aguilera, anyone good that Aguilera's fought, he's 11-4 so far. Anyone good, you know, they've pretty much all been losses. I mean, a loss to Matt Sales, who we just saw getting a win in the Contender Series, lost to Nick Piedmont, and one to Darren Smith Jr. as well. Riding a three-fight win streak. I mean, he does have a win over Anthony Hernandez from this year, and he also got a recent UFC contract, and his last three wins have been by finish. So if you're going to make any picks in LFA 44, I'd be picking Aguilera to win that fight. And then also your co-main is a bantamweight bout between Casey Kenney and Roman Salazar. You might recognize Casey Kenney had two fights last year in Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, a win and a loss. And Roman Salazar was actually featured in the UFC, actually had a fight in Halifax at their first event there at the Scotiabank Center, which main event was Rory McDonald and Tarek Saffiedine. So LFA 44 coming at you tonight from Phoenix. And then you've also got tomorrow morning, early, at 8 o'clock Eastern, Fight Night's Global Summer Cup. And your main event is between the Belarusian Alexei Kudin, and he's taken on Cody East, who used to be in the UFC. Couple losses there at the end of his tenure to Curtis Blaydes and Walt Harris. Both of those losses by knockout. And then if you have a look at Kudin's record, you know, he's got losses to Sergei Kharitonov in his last fight, lost by submission in the first round to Victor Pesta. As well, lost to Jeremy May, Alexander Volkov. So he's fought some top talent, hasn't really had, you know, the best result against the top talent. And overall record of 23-12-1 against Cody East, who is, 13-3. So maybe have a look at that event there tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, coming at you from China, actually, is where that card's going to be held. Fight Nights Global, they tend to be moving around a lot, and that's from Bozhou, China. So that just about does us for episode 23 of the podcast. You know, we had a lot of conversation about Bellator. I really appreciate having Andy Nesbitt and Tayo Keep coming back on to give me their takes, kind of opposing views of where Bellator is headed, but you know, you got to get the good with the bad, and kind of helps you form your own opinion about what's to come with Bellator. But like Ty had mentioned, they're definitely in a transitional period, and the next year or two are really gonna give us a good idea of what the future holds for Bellator. So back again on Tuesday, got another couple of great interviews lined up for our next episode. So enjoy the fights tonight and tomorrow. And don't forget, there's also the Jean-Pascal Steve Bosse boxing fight coming up tonight. I know it's not televised, but if you're in the Montreal area, former, you know, boxing champ in Jean-Pascal and former UFC fighter and hockey enforcer Steve Bosse. So have a look at that, but we'll be back again on Tuesday to bring you the news and the fights from next week. You've got UFC 226 to look forward to, so we'll see you again on Tuesday.